إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 16th session dealing with the explanation, brief explanation of the essay of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, which is known today as Al-Wasiyyah Al-Sughra, the concise legacy or advice. The explanation that we are reading from is the explanation of Shaykh Abdul Razzaq, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr, Hafidhahumullah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. Before we go into our topic for tonight, which is the final issue that Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah addresses in this brief essay, we'd like to review quickly some of the points that we mentioned last week from the lecture number 15 from the study guide. The first question being, briefly, yani discuss briefly the Muqaddima Al-Ula, the first introductory statement offered by the author for the question at hand. Yani the question, meaning the question that we were discussing for the last couple of weeks concerning the best means of earning one's livelihood. The first introductory statement that Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned, Ibrahim. Naam. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah says what?
He says, for the best means or the best way to seek a livelihood is
number one,
your reliance.
Tawakkul ala Allah, putting your trust and reliance, dependence upon Allah alone. And secondly,
and having confidence in Allah's sufficiency.
Al-thiqa bi kifayatihi, that a person is confident that Allah is sufficient to take care of your needs. And third, thinking good of Allah, husnul dhan billahi, and having good expectation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if you do good, good will come back to you. Allah is well able, He's well able to do by you that which you expect from Him, that if you do good, good will come to you. And also we should add to this that part of that, yani tawakkul ala Allah, is what? Badhlu ayyunam? Exerting yourself.
With the legislative means.
Badhlu al-asbab al-mashru'a. This is very important. And the other side of tawakkul ala Allah, which is critical, there's no escape from it, is that when a person puts their trust in Allah totally and completely, they must also get up and do something. And you must exert yourself using the legislative means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made lawful. Naam. Second question. Discuss briefly al-muqaddima al-thaniya, the second introductory statement related to the question at hand. Nadhiruddin. Now, not becoming attached to the provisions that you are seeking, but rather having the intention of being generous. Yani, now.
He says that it's the fitting of the believer to approach his gains with sakhawa, having a spirit of generosity.
Naam.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless him.
Naam, naam. Yani, approaching the seeking of means of livelihood, be sakhawa to nafs. And a spirit of generosity. A person doesn't have the spirit of greed. Rather, they have a spirit of generosity, that they intend to take what they need for their needs and spend in the way of Allah. And so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, you know, place a barakah in it. And that they should not. Naam. Yani ishraf means to go after, to seek after, yani to try to, yani to have an eager desire to get something, to attain something. Yani hala means to be anxious to get it, yani that you must have it. and you have a burning desire to get something, we shouldn't approach money with this kind of attitude. I have to get it. I have to have it. I want it all. No, that's not the way of a Muslim. Rather, this money, as Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, has a place in the life of a Muslim. It has a special place. And it shouldn't go beyond that. Now, which we mentioned, Yani, in the questions that follow. Discuss the author's example of how one should view wealth as something which fulfills a need but has no place in the heart. Now, Abu Jamil. Naam. And you view wealth as you view the bathroom. It's something that you need. And you have a need to use it certain time. Huh? And that's the way you view wealth. But it doesn't have a place in your heart. It doesn't have a status or station or high position in your heart. It's just something that you're in need of. يعني بمنزلة الخلاء يحتاج إليه. يعني it's like the bathroom. A person has a need of it. But يعني it's not something, it doesn't have a makana, يعني high status or station or position in the heart of the human being. A heart is not attached to it. يعني a person is in need of a bathroom to relieve themselves, to fulfill their يعني human need. And they're in need of money to take care of their needs likewise. No more than that. No more than that. Allahu musta'an. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. نعم.
والسعي إذا سعى كإصلاح الخلاء.
نعم. Meaning?
He said if he strives for it, his strive should be the striving of fixing
the bathroom.
The bathroom.
The toilet. The place of relieving oneself. If a person strives for it, it's the striving like the fixing of the toilet. Yani if the toilet is broken, you have to fix it. Yani meaning necessity requires that you fix it because you're going to need it. So necessity may require that you seek wealth because you're going to need it, and not beyond that. The fourth question mentioned the three things of a person's wealth that are actually for him or her from the hadith reported by Al-Imam Muslim on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Now Mustafa.
Three things are really for a person.
No.
For example, the clothing that they wear, and he wears that, they can wear it.
The clothing that they wear, that they wear out, khalas, go on.
The food that they eat, and
food that they eat, that they consume, khalas, go on.
And the money that they give.
And the money and the wealth that a person gives, and in the way of Allah and charity, that will remain for them. Naam. Anybody remember the hadith? Even in English, the meaning of the hadith, the context that this statement came in? نعم يقول العبد
يقول العبد مالي مالي وما من مالي إلا ثلاث
يعني a person says my wealth يعني they're concerned about their money, that's their only concern. But the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that the only thing of a person's wealth that's really for them are three, and that's what he mentioned three things.
ما لبس فأبلى.
نعم. That which he wears and he wears it out, clothing. And that which he يعني eats, which he consumes. نعم. وما تصدق فأبقى. I don't know if this came in hadith in that wording, but that's the meaning of the hadith. In the hadith in Sahih Muslim in Imam Ahmed, he said وما أعطى فأقنى. But the meaning is the same meaning. But in the book it came like the way you said it, صدقه, and that's the meaning of ما أعطى means صدقه, what you gave in the way of Allah. And the end of the hadith he said وما سوى ذلك فهو ذاهب تاركه للناس. يعني whatever is besides those three things, then it is going. He is going. And he's just leaving that, everything else, he's leaving it for the people. Inheritors. Or whoever gets it. Legally or lawfully or otherwise. He's not taking it with him. طيب, question number five. Mention three magnificent benefits given to the one who starts his day with the Akhirah as his greatest concern. Three things that's mentioned in the hadith for the person who begins their day with their greatest concern, meaning the akhirah. Naziruddin.
Contentment in the heart.
And that they have contentment. Their heart is content with whatever Allah has decreed for them.
They suffice with whatever they were given.
Okay. They're whatever they have been given is sufficient.
Yeah. And,
And this is related to each other. Naam. Naam, Abu Jamil. Jamalah Shamlahu. Yani Allah? Huh? His affairs, yani whatever he's doing, Allah will unite it, bring it together, won't be scattered. Naam. And الغنى ويجعل غناه في قلبه, that he will place contentment in his heart. Yani he will be, his heart will be content, and that and everything else really doesn't matter. If a person's heart is content, it doesn't matter what physical condition they're in, doesn't matter what kind of wealth they have or don't have. If their heart is content, because people have all kind of wealth, but their heart is not content. That's the problem. Allah will place contentment in their heart, and finally, نعم أتاتو الدنيا, the dunya will come to him. Yani whatever we are seeking in this dunya is going to come to you. Even yani unwillingly, وَهِيَ رَاغِمَ, yani the dunya doesn't want to come to you, it has to, because Allah has made it like that. It has to. If what? إِذَا أَصْبَحَ وَأَكْبَرُ حَمِّهِ الْآخِرَةِ. If a person starts their day, and the greatest concern that they have when they start that day is nothing other than, how will I earn the pleasure of Allah and reach His Jannah in the next life? Everything in this world, yani, is secondary. That is the most important thing. That's what we have to start our day with. That's what we have to really start striving to. Yani whatever I have to do in that day, the most important thing is the Akhirah. This is what makes a difference in your life. This is what we have to make as a goal. We have to make a change in our life. That we don't get up in the morning thinking that today I'm going to make a lot of money, or today I'm going to get this or that, or today somebody's going to do something for me that I've been waiting for a whole yani week, a month, a year. No, rather, today I'm going to do something that's going to help me to get near to my Lord, that will earn His reward in the Akhirah. And question number 6 mentioned the dua. Oh Allah, do not make the dunya my greatest concern, nor the extent of my knowledge. And it reported by At-Tirmidhi. Reported by At-Tirmidhi. Naam, Ibrahim. Naam. Somebody else. Who else memorized this supplication? Nazirudin. Naam. Abu Jamil. وَلَا مَبْلَغَ حِلْمِنَا. What is the meaning of this? Yani, oh Allah,
Allah, do not make the world, this worldly life, my biggest concern, my greatest.
Don't make the dunya, the things in this world, my greatest concern. Doesn't mean I don't have to be concerned about it, but it's not my greatest concern. Nor
do not make it the extent of my knowledge.
Nor the extent of my knowledge. That I only have knowledge of the things of the world, and I don't have knowledge of the akhirah, of the deen, and the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has yani made obligatory upon us. And this dua is a part of a lengthy dua, very, very important, tremendous dua. And it is the dua that Shaykh Muhammad Ali Adam al Ethiopi recites every day at the end of his dars. Huh? Alayhi kadhalik? Ama samat? Naam. Subhanallah, this is a part of that dua. It is a tremendous dua. But at least if a person didn't learn the whole dua, in time you might learn it, but now at least, yani recite this dua every day. Oh Allah, do not make the dunya my greatest concern, nor the extent of my knowledge. Yani if Allah doesn't grant you that, and why should He grant it if you didn't even ask? Then you are lost, for sure. The matter is finished. If your greatest concern becomes the dunya, then it will be applicable to you. What Allah revealed to us in the Quran, Al-Hakumu Al-Takathur. Al-Hakumu Al-Takathur. Hatta Zurutum Al-Maqabi. Until you're in the grave, you will be distracted by collecting the dunya. Question number 7. Mention the meaning, or discuss the meaning of the saying, you are in need of your portion of ad-dunya, but you are more in need of your portion of the Akhirah. What is the meaning of this statement? That you are in need, a saying of the Salaf. One of the Salaf said, you are in need of the dunya. Anta muhtaj ila dunya. But you are more in need of your portion of the Akhirah. Ahwaj. What is the meaning of this? Naam.
You need to put the dunya in its place.
put the dunya in its place. You have need of it now, but put it in its, what's its place? Yani, it's not the most important thing. There's something you are more, there's a greater need of yours. Huh? The seeking the akhir, make that your first priority. Naam, Musa.
You should make it your concern.
Naam.
And also, if that is your concern, it should be like, you should make the dunya as not your concern, also, if you make the akhirah your concern.
Make your priority seeking the akhirah. And then that, your portion of the dunya, will come by naturally in the course of action. As the Prophet ﷺ said, "What kun fi dunya kanaka gharib a'abiru sabilin." Yani, be in the world, the way you should view the world is that as you are just a stranger. This is not your permanent place of residence, you're just a stranger. And you have nothing to do with this place. You're a stranger here. A'abiru sabil, one just passing through on the road. Passing on the road, person passing on the road doesn't become attached to the places that you stop over in. You just stop over there and do what you got to do and keep on going. Because what? You have a destination. Sheikh said, verily we have a destination. We're on a journey. We have some place that we are trying to get to. Therefore, don't, yani, make yourself to reside. Don't, la yuqimu, and the dunya. Yani, don't make this the only thing that you're concerned about, the only thing that you're thinking about, the thing that your heart is attached to. But rather, put it in its place. Put it in its place. And this doesn't mean that a person doesn't have a right to attend to their worldly affairs. Rather, it is incumbent upon you to attend to your worldly affairs. But don't make it your greatest concern in the extent of your knowledge. But our greatest concern is what? Because if a person, and it is critical, and because if a person, and the next question is related to this. If a person makes the dunya their greatest concern, it will distract them from the purpose for which they were created. The thing which we were created to achieve, and that is the pleasure of Allah and His reward in the next life, the akhirah. Yani, it will distract you from the purpose for which you were created, which is to worship Allah and to prepare yourself for the home in the hereafter. And the next question, which is related to this point, is memorize the ayat which clearly points out the ultimate purpose for which the human being has been created. In the 51st surah and 56th ayat, Naam, Ahmed. Naam, wa ma khalaqatul jinna wal insa illa liya'budun. Meaning?
I have not created the mankind or mankind except to worship me.
I have not created the man and jinn except to worship me. Except to worship me. And Allah goes on to say in the rest of the ayat that's related to the point, Naam. I don't want any provisions from them, from the created beings. Huh? Nor that they should feed me, or themselves, or others. Inna Allaha hu razzaq. Allah is the provider. Allah is telling you, I have not created you except to worship me. I didn't create you to go after the dunya. I'm the provider. You don't need to feed me or yourself or anyone else. Allah is the provider. If you worship Allah, Allah will provide for you. Again, Naam, you have to go out and seek provisions, as the birds go out and seek provisions. They go out with an empty stomach and come back with full, right? But the point is that if you're worshipping Allah, your worldly needs will be taken care of. As the Prophet ﷺ said in another hadith that we mentioned last week, مَنْ جَعَلَ الْحُمُومُ حَمَّا وَاحِدًا حَمَّ آخِرَتِهِ. And whoever makes their concerns one concern, and that is the concern for the hereafter. كَفَاهُ اللَّهُ. Huh? كَفَاهُ اللَّهُ حَمَّ دُنْيَاهُ. Then Allah will suffice him his concerns of the world, worldly needs. If a person does what? Take all their concerns and just make them one concern. What is the concern? The akhirah. If you do that, then the dunya will come to you in time, رَاغِمَ, even though if it doesn't want to come. As the Prophet ﷺ said, أَتَاتُ الدُّنْيَا وَهِيَ رَاغِمَ. And the last question summarized, the author, Shaykh Al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah's view concerning which of the various means of livelihood is the best one. Which of the various means of livelihood is the best one? This question is, yani, a little bit much, but labas. Abu Bakr, let's give Abu Bakr a chance. Start with it.
Mm-hmm.
Naam, it may vary from one person to another. It's not just one yani thing that's best for everyone. Before that he said, because I don't know of any one thing that's yani the best in every situation. Whether it's trade or commerce or farming or building, construction, whatever. There's not one thing that we can say that construction is in every situation better than trade, or trade is better than farming, and so on. Huh? But if an opportunity comes to a person, then make istikhara. That's the key. That if an opportunity comes, then make istikhara. You know, the istikhara that came from the Mu'allim al-Khayr, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Help us finish. And after that he said, after you make istikhara, then what? وَمَا تَيَسَّرَ لَهُ Whatever Allah facilitates, make easy for him, فَلَا يَتَخَلَّفْ عَنْهُ لِغَيْرِهِ Then don't leave that which Allah has made a way for you. Don't leave that and go to something else. Rather continue in that which Allah has opened for you, unless there is a karaha shar'iyya. Yani something, yani a person thinks that in the sharia there's some harm or some evil or something, yani prohibited, involved in that kind of livelihood. And a person should what? Make istikhara. And whatever Allah opens for them, then they should continue with that. Don't jump from one to another, but go with that which Allah has made easy for you, and stick with it, as long as there's no sharia prohibition. Tayyib, these are some of the issues that we talked about last week, and quickly, yani, this is the final topic that Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah deals with. And just quickly, yani, as far as this book, the first publication or the first translation, or the only translation that I know of this book that was first published, the topic that we're dealing with, this topic regarding knowledge, is on page 23 up until the end of the answer on page 25. And in this newly printed same translation with some modifications, a lot of footnotes printed by Dar es Salaam, it's on page 73 up until 79. And I looked in this translation today and I noted that there are some etiquettes for the seeker of knowledge in the footnotes. That's actually beneficial. If a person has this book, they should look at those etiquettes. We don't have time to, but yani, it's worth looking at. If you're looking at the Arabic Sharh, then it's on the top of page 67 up until the middle of page 70. And, you know, normally as we're reading the Arabic Sharh, and if there are some printing mistakes, I usually mention them, but I'm not going to, yani, because of the limits of time, I won't be able to like spend a lot of time with them, so pay attention if you're following the Arabic yani, explanation. The Shaykh begins by saying, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salam ala abdillahi wa rasulihi, nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in amma ba'd. And the praise belongs to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and salat and salam on the servant of Allah, the worship of Allah and His Messenger, our Prophet Muhammad, and upon his family, his companions, all of them. After this, Yaqulu Shaykh al-Islam Ahmed ibn Abdul Halim ibn Abdul Salam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala fi wasiyatihi. And Shaykh al-Islam says in his wasiyah, wa amma ma ta'tamida alayhi min al-kutub fil ulum fahadha babun wasi'un. And the answer is kind of lengthy, but we're going to like just take the first part of it tonight and try to finish it, yani in what follows. But he said, as far as what? Yani the questioner asks, what book should I depend upon in terms of knowledge of hadith? What book can you recommend that I can rely upon that book? And he means there's lots of books. What? Give me one book that I want to rely upon, and likewise in the other Islamic sciences. Give me a book that I can rely upon in every field. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says, as far as, yani what books you can rely upon in the ulum, yani means the ulum shar'iyyah, فَهَذَا بَابٌ وَاسِعٌ This is a vast topic. Yani, there are a lot of books that the scholars have written in Islam by the time of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. Eight or nine centuries went by. How many books are written? By scholars of Islam, people upon the Sunnah, not the rubbish, trash, deviant stuff. وَهُوَ أَيْضًا يَخْتَلَفْ بِإِخْتِلَافْ نَشِئِ الْإِنسَانِ فِي الْبِلَادِ And it also, yani, not only is it a vast subject, there's too many books. How will I identify which books for you? But there's also another consideration, that it may differ, what I could recommend may differ, yani depending on where the person is living, in which country, yani where they are raised up at, where they are living, yani what may be available to them in one land might be not available in another land. فَقَدْ يَتَيَسَّرُ لَهُ فِي بَعْدُ الْبِلَادِ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ أَوْ مِنْ طَرِيقِهِ ومذهبه فيه ما لا يتيسر له في بلد آخر. For indeed, it may be facilitated, made easy for a person in some lands, يعني the seeking of knowledge, or the tariq, or madhab in it, يعني meaning the manner, the way of his seeking knowledge, and the madhab that he is adhering to. It may differ, it may be made easy for a person in one land or another, depending on يعني the tariqa, the way that he is seeking the knowledge, or the madhab that he is in. What that which might not be made easy for a person in another land. Meaning there are some books that might be available in one land that's not available in another land, depending on where the person's at, how they're pursuing knowledge, and what madhab they are following. So because of this, because of the vastness of the number of books, and the people, opportunities may differ from one land to another, what may be available to them, لكن جماع الخير أن يستعين بالله سبحانه في التلقي العلم الموروث عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فإنه هو الذي يستحق أن يسمى علما. And this is the part that we want to discuss tonight up until here. يعني where he says, however, in spite of what has been mentioned, جماع الخير, يعني that which combines, collects, brings together all the خير, يعني the one thing that a person seeking knowledge wants to know what books to use, then I will tell him this. جماع الخير, that which will collect all of the good for you, is أن يستعين بالله سبحانه في التلقي العلم الموروث عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. That a person seeks help and assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the يعني seeking or receiving of the knowledge, العلم الموروث, يعني the knowledge which has been left behind as inheritance from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. يعني the key is what? Is يستعين بالله, that a person seeks help from Allah. Don't think that I'm so smart, I'm so intelligent, I have a lot of books, I have good teachers, I'm going to make it. No, it's not like that. It's يستعين بالله سبحانه وتعالى في التلقي العلم, which علم? الموروث عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Here he makes a number of points, the Shaykh is going to explain. But the key point is what? That you seek help from Allah. And isn't this the key in everything? That you may not be successful in anything except seeking help from Allah. And in this case, in what? In receiving the knowledge which has been left behind as inheritance from the Prophet ﷺ. Not any knowledge. Not any knowledge. But the knowledge that came from the Prophet ﷺ. This is a tremendous topic. If a person doesn't realize it, then you might lose out. Naam. Because we are seeking knowledge, right? طلب العلم فريضةٌ على كل مسلم. Every Muslim has an obligation upon them to seek knowledge. But what knowledge? Where? How? Huh? The knowledge that has been left behind as inheritance from the Prophet ﷺ. For indeed, that knowledge, هُوَ الَّذِي يَسْتَحَقُّ أَنْ يُسَمَّ عِلْمًا. Because this is the only knowledge that has a right, that's deserving of being called knowledge. And the rest of the answer after this, we're not going to be able to discuss tonight, I don't think. But in any case, he says, وَمَا سِوَاهُ, يعني other than this knowledge that's inherited from the Prophet ﷺ, every other knowledge, either it is knowledge, إما أن يكون علما فلا يكون نافيا. Either it is knowledge, but it's not beneficial. It's knowledge, but it's not beneficial. وإما أن لا يكون علما وإن سمي به. Or it's not even knowledge, even though it is called that. Even though people are called it, it's not really knowledge. ولئن كان علما نافيا فلا بد أن يكون في ميراث محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ما يغني عنه مما هو مثله وخير منه. And again, probably we're not going to reach this point tonight, but the last point, he said what? That either it is knowledge that's not beneficial, or either it is not even knowledge, even though the people call it knowledge, or if it is beneficial knowledge, then of necessity, there must be in that which is inherited from Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم ما يغني عنه, makes you غني عنه, free of it. You don't need that other knowledge, even if it's beneficial knowledge. Huh? He said, that which will make you free of need of it. You don't have no need for it. Why are you wasting your time reading this stuff? But it's beneficial knowledge. Maybe it is. But what is with the Prophet? Huh? Will make you free of need of it. مما هو مثله وخير منه. And here there's a translation in the book, a mistake, a small mistake. He said, مما, يعني from that which is مثله, like it, وَخَيْرٌ مِّنْهُ. He said, that which is like it or better than it. No. That which is like it and it is better than it. Not or better than it. And that which is like it, meaning it will serve the same purpose that you're seeking that beneficial knowledge for, it will serve that purpose. But it's better than that. And that which is with the Prophet. You found some beneficial knowledge somewhere, well, what is with the Prophet? It serves the same purpose, but it's better than that. It's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيِ يُوحَىٰ. Revelation, it is revelation. It's not like anything that a man could have written. And then the Shaykh goes on to say, Shaykh Islam Taymiyyah said, that your most important concern should be understanding what is intended by the Prophet ﷺ and that which he has commanded and prohibited and other things. And if your heart is content that you have reached the correct understanding, don't leave it for anything. And he said a person should strive to hold on to, I'm just going quickly through the rest of the answer that we'll cover in the next class. He said a person should strive, yani make earnest effort to hold fast in every bab, min abwab al-ilm, yani in every subject of what you're seeking knowledge in the Sharia. Aslun, it says madhkurun, it should say bi aslin ma'thurin, not madhkurun, ma'thurin, an nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, meaning a dalil on evidence, yani that serves in every subject that you are seeking, it serves as a proof in that subject that has been yani reported from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And if a person yani it becomes unclear because the people have differed about a certain matter, then supplicate with that supplication as reported by Imam Muslim on the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he used to get up in the night to pray, he used to recite this supplication, Allahumma rabba Jibril Mikael wa Israfil, until the end of the supplication that we talk about when we come to it. And then he ended by saying, and this is because yani seek, ask Allah to guide you to that which the people differed about, because indeed it has been narrated yani from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Allah said, ya ibadi kullukum dalun illa man hadaytuhu fastahduni ahdikum, because all my servants, all of you are astray except the one whom I have guided, therefore seek guidance from me and I will guide you. If the scholars have differed about a matter and you can't figure out which one is the correct opinion, you should recite this supplication of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah will guide you to that which is right. Allah is the guide, and there's no guide except Allah, and no one is guided except the one who Allah guides. And this is yani a summary of the rest of the answer, and inshallah we'll take the details of the rest of the answer as we come to the explanation of it. The Shaykh, he yani Shaykh Abdul Razak, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, in his explanation after this text from Shaykh Al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he praises Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and bears witness that there is nothing deserved to worship except Him, and that He has no partners, and that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is His abd and His rasul, and yani salat and salam upon Him and His companions, all of them. He said, "This is the end." فَهَذَا هُوَ آخِرُ مَا يَتَعَلَّقْ بِمَا عَوْصَ بِهِ شَيْخُ الْإِسْلَامِ ابْنِ تَيْمِيَّةَ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى أَبَا الْقَاسِمِ السِّبْتِ رَحِمَهُمُ اللَّهُ. And this is the end of what's related to what Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah advised yani Abu al-Qasim al-Sibti with, yani related to four issues that he was asked about. This is the last of them. And وَكَانَ كَمَا عَرَفْنَا أَبُو الْقَاسِمِ السِّبْتِي طَلَبَ مِنْ شَيْخِ الْإِسْلَامِ ابْنِ تَيْمِيَّةَ وَصِيًّا جَامِعًا مُخْتَصَرًا وَحَدَّدَ فِي طَلَبِهِ مَا أَرَادَ مِنْ شَيْخِ الْإِسْلَامِ ابْنِ تَيْمِيَّةَ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ أَنْ يُوصِيَهُ بِهِ وَكَانَ مِمَّا طَلَبَ كَمَا مَرَّ مَعْنَا قَالَ وَكَذَلِكَ يُرْشِدُنِي. And he said, and also guide me إِلَى كِتَابٍ يَكُونُ عَلَيْهِ اعْتِمَادِي فِي عِلْمِ الْحَدِيثِ. Guide me, direct me to a book that I will rely upon in the knowledge of hadith. وكذلك في غيره من العلوم الشرعية. And likewise, yani in the Islamic sciences, guide me to a book in every science that I can rely upon. Yani Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, the Shaykh is saying here, the Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah was asked by Abu Qasim al-Sibti to give him an advice, a comprehensive advice, but in summary, brief, not lengthy in detail. And he specified in what he requested from Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, as we mentioned previously, that guide me to a book that I will depend upon in the knowledge, in the science of hadith, and likewise in the other Islamic sciences. And in this place, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah begins to أَخَذَ يَتَحَدَّثُ يعني في هذه الوصية بما يتعلق بهذا الجانب. So he begins to talk about this aspect of the wasiyya. And that is what a person, a طالب العلم, should rely upon in terms of books. يعني should we just read every book? Absolutely no. فيكون رحمه الله. So he said, as far as that which يعني you can rely upon or depend upon in terms of books in the sciences, meaning the Islamic sciences, فهذا باب واسع. This is a vast topic. لأن الشريعة يعني the Sheikh Abdul Razak is saying, because the Sharia, as is not hidden to any of us, يعني there's Al-Quran in terms of Islamic sciences, there's the Quran and its sciences, and there's tafsir and the principles, the qawaid of the tafsir. يعني this is a whole area that's vast, the knowledge related to the Quran. وهناك أيضا الحديث وما يتعلق به من حيث الرواية ومن حيث الدراية. And then there's another whole field related to hadith, يعني the kitab wa sunnah, right? These are the foundations. So also in reference to hadith, this is a whole field. And what is connected to it, يعني in terms of al-riwayah wa al-diraya. يعني meaning that the science of hadith is divided into two main divisions, al-riwayah wa al-diraya. يعني one side of it is dealing with the textual, يعني text, يعني the mutun. يعني what has been narrated from the Prophet, what he said, what he did, what he approved of, and so on and so forth. And the, يعني asanid, that they came by. And the other side is understanding what has been conveyed to us, the knowledge of understanding of what is conveyed in those hadith. So these are two sides. He said all of this, each one of these also have a lot of يعني innumerable books from the scholars of Islam. They have written about it. وهناك أيضا ما يتعلق بالأحكام والفقه في دين الله عقيدة وعبادة. And then there's also a whole other field, that is what is connected to أحكام, legal rulings, يعني that come from the Quran and Sunnah, the legal rulings, the أحكام, and the fiqh in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ibadatan, aqidatan wa ibadatan. Yani the understanding of the fiqh of Allah, the fiqh of the deen of Allah is in two areas, aqidatan and ibadah. Yani aqidah and ibadah. This is a vast field. Yani what's related to ahkam and the fiqh in the deen of Allah that's related to aqidah is a whole field. How many books are there by the scholars of sunnah in the centuries since the passing of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And related to ibadah. And related to ibadah. Everything that's related to ibadah. What kind of books do we have? How many books do we have? Written by real scholars. We're not talking about the other stuff, right? After this, he says, وَأَيْضًا هُنَاكْ مَا يَتَعَلَّكْ بِعُلُومِ الْآلَةِ يعني the sciences, عُلُومِ الْآلَةِ التي تَخْدِمْ يعني those subjects in Islam that serve the what we mentioned first. يعني serve the knowledge that's in the Quran and the Sunnah. The Kitab was Sunnah. And there are other subsidiary, secondary sciences that are not in and of themselves, yani what we are seeking, but rather they help you to get to the benefit of the other knowledge. Like what? First and foremost, Arabic language. Arabic language. How are you going to learn about it? How are you going to read Quran and Sunnah if you don't know Arabic? This is a yani from the Ulum al-A'la. And likewise, yani those other sciences like usul al-tafsir, to help you to understand the Quran, and usul al-hadith, yani mustalah hadith, and usul al-fiqh, and so on. And these are secondary sciences that only are established for what? Service of the primary. Yani al-ulum al-ghaya. Al-ulum al-ghaya means the main, yani the objective, the thing that we're actually, what is our destination, our goal, our purpose? That is understanding the Quran and Sunnah. And the ulum al-a'la are those sciences that serve us in seeing the knowledge, you know, the primary knowledge of Quran and Sunnah and the ahkam of ibadah and aqidah. Ulum al-a'la is the service sciences, and ulum al-ghaya are the sciences that is really our goal, al-kitab wa sunnah, and the ahkam related to aqidah and ibadah. So what is all of this is to say what? يعني شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية said, you ask him, well, what book to rely upon each science? هذا باب واسع. يعني talking about all of this, all of these kinds of books that are available, are not possible to be discussed in this summary advice that you have asked me to summarize the issue. It's not possible. From one side, يعني it's just too many books. ومن جهة أخرى أن هذا أيضا يختلف باختلاف نشعي الإنسان في البلد. And also, and what books would be recommended would differ depending on where a person is living at, what country they are in, yani what's available to them in that country in terms of books, and what's available in that country in terms of people who will teach what's in those books. يعني a person being born in a certain country نشأ الإنسان في البلد من حيث وجود الكتب العلمية يعني what scholastic books are available in a certain country that would determine what books I would tell him to read what's available in his country ومن حيث أيضا من يعلمه ما في هذه الكتب من علم and also from the perspective of what who in which country يعني which country you're in يعني what I would recommend is depending on what books are available there and who's available to teach what's in those books this is also another consideration that would determine a person's ability to seek knowledge especially in the time Sheikh Abdul Razak is saying especially in the time which Sheikh Al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah is talking about in this wasiyah the time that he's talking يعني he's writing this in a certain time period and this is a time that's different from our time that we are living in now من حيث الإمكانات يعني من حيث الإمكانات meaning the abilities the greater abilities that we have today in seeking knowledge in terms of the books that are available the opportunities for seeking knowledge the means the wasail of seeking knowledge are vast today not like it was in that time not like it was in that time he said يعني so it differs our time differs from that time in terms of the capabilities that we have today لا من حيث توفر الكتب يعني meaning and Allah knows best what the Shaykh means here but it appears to me after reading it again and again and again that he means here يعني لا it's not different in terms of توفر الكتب he means not that there are not more copies of books available today there are more copies of books but the amount of books the abundance of books that were written by scholars that were available then يعني no more I mean it's not different from today in that sense meaning that if there are a lot of books available a lot of people who have written books about Islam in that time there were a lot of scholars who had written books about Islam maybe the books were not as available because they didn't have a lot of copies right but the books were plentiful back then from that sense there's no different yani that the person back then was trying to figure out what book to read it was a tremendous choice immense choice what is he going to choose from thousands of books so which one shall I recommend to him in that sense there's no difference But in the sense of the plentifulness, the abundance of copies of books and the availability of the books different today. Now, so the Shaykh, he says, we see with the presence or the existence of the modern printing press, how the spread of books in large amounts, thousands and thousands of books, yani have been spread in this yani amazing amount. Whereas in the past, the book was only spread by the pen, meaning the pen of the students who wrote out the books. Today they are being printed by printing presses, right? So, for this reason, there was a limit to the spread of books. Not to the existence of books being authored, but the amount of copies of books that were available for people to have access to. Because the book was only spread, yani books were only copied by hand, by writing them out by hand. So there was one book, for example, I mean, there would be a book, one book, that tens of people would have to pass over. They would pass it around. Somebody would read it, next person, everybody would be sharing it. Or maybe even hundreds, every one of them borrowing that book for a night or two nights, until he was able to go through what that book contained. Sometimes if a scholar, and he passed by, and he had some of his books, passed over by a village or a city, and he had some of his books, the students of knowledge, in that night that he spent with them, they would try to get some of his books. Huh? They would try to get those books, and yani, they would borrow his books, and they would try to copy, and they would try to read, and they would try to memorize whatever they're able to memorize from what is contained in those books. But in our time, the affair is different completely. من حيث كثرة الكتب. يعني the availability of books, plenty of copies of books, and not even being expensive, is different today. واختلف أيضا تماما من حيث وسائل الاتصال وتراك التلقي. And also, it differs completely from the perspective of the means of communication, وسائل الاتصال, and the تراك التلقي, and the ways that people can learn today. يعني you don't necessarily have to be sitting in the same place with the Sheikh. يعني with a scholar he might be in another country like we're listening after Salatul Dhuhr every day to Sheikh Muhammad Adam Muhammad Ali Adam in Ethiopia he's in Mecca at the Haram in Mecca and we're in Brooklyn or in Queens or Manhattan or the Bronx or Staten Island or Long Island, New Jersey and we're listening to him We don't have to go there. Just turn on your Mixa LR and listen in. Tafsir Ibn Kathir, Sahih Muslim, Abu Dawood, Allahu Akbar. What more could you want? Or other scholars that we can listen to, right? It used to be, yani, that's the way it was difficult for a person, yani, the means were very difficult and limited, and it was hard for a person, yani, to seek knowledge. But today, it's reached this extent that a scholar, some of the people of knowledge have died for years, they died years ago, and their knowledge has been preserved in their voices. And you actually hear them speaking, recordings, right? Go to the masjid of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Medina, and take one of those 1 million gigabytes, I don't know what they call, tregabytes. What do they call that thing? 1,000 of something?
Huh? Terabyte.
You take it in there and tell them, I want all of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin's explanations of Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, and Nasa'i. They record it for you. And give it back, and you go home, mashallah. You have 25 years of explanation of hadith from Sheikh Abdul Muhsin al-Abbad. Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. That was never possible in the past. This is something new. And that didn't exist in the first times. Now we are able to hear the explanations, precious explanations, from the Imams like Ibn Baz, rahimahullah, and Ibn Uthaymeen, and Al-Albani, rahimahullah, and other than them from the scholars, A'immat al-ilm wal-fadl. Yani these virtuous scholars of Islam, we are able to hear them in their own voices. This in addition to wasail al-ittisal allati yassarat umur kathira, idafatan ila wasail al-ittisal. Yani the means of communication today, in addition to yani the knowledge being preserved and recorded, also the means of communication have made it very easy in many, many affairs. And the Shaykh here cautions us, and this is very tremendous caution, and we should pay attention to, like ma hadha al yusra aidan fi muqabil hunak zuhud. In spite of this ease, also in the face of this, there's also zuhud, meaning there's abstinence, there's indifference. And with all the ease that has been given to us, there's a zuhud, indifference. ما هذا اليسر في هذه الوسائل وتوفر الكتب وطريق التحصيل يعني الزهد في التلقي, meaning there's a great, يعني you know what zuhud means, right? They say asceticism, zuhud, يعني you don't have a desire for the world, يعني you're indifferent about the world, you abstain from the world. Well, today we have all the books available, the means of communication available, but we're indifferent, we're not interested in learning. Wallahi, people are not interested in learning. Go to the masjids, any masjid where people are teaching, and if nobody comes, you could go to a certain masjid, I'm not making any names, yani Salat al-Maghrib, Salat al-Isha, 300 or 400 people. After the Salat, somebody's given a dars, and 15 people are sitting there. Out of 300 or 400 people, everybody just left. They're not interested in this. This is zuhud, yani fi talaqqi al-ilm. People are not interested in learning today. Allah, we're not interested. We're too busy, and you're doing more important things. There used to be, in the old days, when a valuable book was made available, la buddha and yaqrahu talib al-ilm kamilan, and he yamur bihi mururan. If there was a valuable book made available, a student of knowledge, he would read it completely, because he was just going to have one chance to go through it. And if he didn't read it, and he didn't try to grasp and retain what all that it contains in one or two nights or three nights, it will have passed him by. Khalas, he won't get another chance. So you will find him what? فَتَجِدُهُ يَحْرِسْ عَلَيْهِ أَشَدَّ الْحِرْسِ. You will see him eagerly, diligently, trying to get into that book and get what's in it and to retain it. Whereas today, نَحْنُ لَا نَقْرَوْ كِتَاب نَقْتَنِي الْكِتَاب وَلَا نَقْرَوْهُ. Yani we collect books, but we don't read them. Allah, is dangerous. This is dangerous. We collect books, but we don't read them. Allah save us from this. Every time you want to read the book, your nafs says to you, the book is with you in your house. Whenever you need it, you can read it. And it's there. That's why if you lend somebody a book, tell them you got 3 days. Otherwise, they'll just sit on it. You got 3 days. If you didn't read it, return it. Give it back. That's if you lend to some people. who you think are trustworthy. Otherwise, don't even lend. So the book remains on the shelf. لا يقرأ. It's not read. Allahumma illa awwal ma yaqtanihi talibul ilm. Except in the beginning, when the student first gets a book, perhaps he will look through the index, table of contents, or some of its subjects, and then he will not return to it a second time. So this abundance of availability of books, in the way that it is today, adda 'inda kathir min an-nas ila zuhd fi kutub al-'ilm wal istifada minha wa qira'atiha wal intifa biha. This yani abundance of availability of books have led to many of the people yani becoming indifferent, abstaining from the books of knowledge and benefiting from them and reading from them yani and getting whatever yani they can get out of it. So the summary is that Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah is saying, and what he's talking about, he's talking about hal fi zamani. He's talking about how the condition was in his time, and it may be very different in our time. And he also said, yani the affair in terms of me identifying, specifying which books you can rely upon in different sciences, it may differ, yani he said, depending on where the place, where the person is living at. Because this will limit his ability to get certain knowledge in the old days, depending on where he was at, he was limited. Today, you're not limited. You're not in getting the books or in listening to the scholars. Everything is open. And it's pretty much free. A lot of books you can get just free. Al-Maktaba, Shamila. Yani, almost every book you can imagine in tafsir, fiqh, hadith, anything you can think of, Arabic language, aqidah. Thousands of books, you just download it into your thing, and you got every book you want, any book of tafsir, any book of fiqh, on every madhab. Like, not one book in every madhab, 20, 30, 40 books in Hanbali madhab, Maliki madhab, Shafi'i madhab. Yani, subhanAllah. Huh? And you just carry that around in your pocket. And turn it on and read, whatever you want to read. There's no limitations today. Yani, the only limitation is the limitation that we place on ourselves. In our time, it's different than it was in that time. Here the Sheikh mentions the story, and I'm going to just summarize the story. He said, one time I mentioned to Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, a news and information, a situation that pleased him very much. I was in one of the countries and I saw a group of young people and they were asking, yani, scholarly questions, yani, ilmiya, yani, scholastic questions, questions of students of knowledge. These were not regular questions like the ordinary guy walking down the street. So I said, yani, what do you people do? What do you do for a living? Yani, he's thinking like maybe these people are students or something, you know, that's what they do for a living. They said, no, we just work in a factory making clothing. And they were forced due to their need to earn a living to work in a factory. So I said to them, hey, the questions that you are asking indicate that you people have achieved the level of knowledge. They said, for some years now, we have a dars with Shaykh al-Ibn Uthaymeen every week. We have a lesson with Shaykh Uthaymeen every week. I said, are you calling him by telephone? They said, no. Every week we listen to a sharit, a tape, of his explanation of Bulugh Maram. And we memorize the hadith and we listen to the explanation of the sheikh. We have been doing this for years, every week, listening to one tape, one cassette tape, every week. The sheikh says, if a person continues, is consistent in doing any deed, even if it's a little bit, it will bring its fruit. Even if it takes years, but in years you will see the fruit. The mushkila, the problem though, is that a person wastes their life. And they don't make any portion of their life for knowledge. Yani, there's no place for knowledge and getting yani some amount of the knowledge. So these people, they made one day in the week where they would sit with each other and they had a certain way, yani tariqah, a certain manner, yani specific manner, which they have explained that they used to do. Yani, they listen to the tape, they memorize the hadith, and then they listen to his explanation. So I mentioned this to Shaykh Uthaymeen rahimahullah, and he was very pleased. So these ways today were not available to the people in the past. So the means, in reality, the means, the wasail that we have access to today have made it very easy for a person to acquire knowledge and to benefit from the scholars. Yani, these things were not available in the time of the past to the people in the past. But today it has been made easy for us. What will we do with it? Then he says, yani Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, it also differs. Yani, it may differ depending on where, what country the person is living in. So, it may be made easy in some lands, for a person to get knowledge, yani, that's not easy in another land. Depending on his tariqah and his madhab, yani, may be easier in some places than in others. And here he said, we can add to what Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah says, we can add, yudafu ala ma yaqalu, yani, he, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, was writing to a person in his time. Okay, so what he was saying to him was applicable to his time. We can add now and say, in accordance with the general meaning of this wasiyah, يَتَيَسَّرْ مِنْ وَسَعَلَ التَّحْسِيلِ فِي زَمَانْ مَا لَتَيَسَّرْ فِي زَمَانْ آخر. Yani, just like some things may be easier for some people in one land that wasn't available in another land in the past, well, we can also say that some things may be made easier for people in a certain time period that wasn't easy for people in a different time period. Certainly, what has been made easy for us today was not made easy for the people in the past. And do we appreciate it? Do we utilize it? Or do we just become, yani, zahid, abstinence, indifference? Yani, the affair in our time today, and he said, is such that a man or a woman will be in the house, in his village, in one of the villages. And it is possible now that he's in his village, يعني ما لم يكن موجودا إطلاقا في وقت سابق. يعني what he's able to do today was in no way possible to the people in the past. يعني this man is in his house, this woman is in her house. المرأة هي في بيتها جالسة. It says في مرقدها. It should say في غرفتها. يعني it's a printing mistake. يعني that she is sitting in her bed. It should say she is sitting in her room, in her village, in her house, in her room. And she's able to achieve ilman ghaziran, an abundance of knowledge, by the means, the modern means of communications today. This is a matter that wasn't present in the past. The person is in their village. When would they have gotten any knowledge? They wouldn't have had a chance to get any knowledge except from the khatib of Jumu'ah. On the day of Jumu'ah, a person in the village, that was the only time they got knowledge. Or if they found a scholar who was passing by their village and he was delivering a lesson, a dars or two, yani, or he sat some days and gave them some durus. Yani, that was their opportunity once in a while. But today, the means have made everything easy for us. But in spite of this, in addition to this, or along with it, the ease that have been given to us, there's also the zuhud kabir or kathir. Actually, it should say, yani, a lot of indifference with the people today in terms of achieving knowledge. Whereas in the past time, if a scholar, either marra, yani, passed by, the students of knowledge would try to get the biggest amount of benefit from the scholars as possible. That's how it used to be in the past. And the benefits which they took from him, they also tudbat wa yahrisuna ala dhabtiha, meaning they would write it down in order to retain it, to protect it and to preserve it. لِأَنَّهَا إِذَا مَا ضُبِطَتْ ذَهَبَتْ. Because if it's not, yani, taken hold of, retained by writing, then it would get away. Yani, so today, we don't even have to write, right? Just turn on your recorder. Your telephone, I mean, not even recorder, right? Your telephone. Just turn on your telephone and you got everything. So you find that in that time, the person used to be eager and diligent to the utmost degree. يعني أشد ما يكون من الحرص. Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah says, however, and in spite of all this, yani, that I can't really specify one or two particular books in every science for you because of these reasons, because of it may differ from one land to another and the vast amount of books that you have access to choose from, even in that time. He said, but what I can do is I tell you Jima al-Khair and Yasta'in Billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the critical crux of, yani, what the Shaykh is saying here on this topic here. He said, Jima al-Khair, that which collects and brings together all good, is that a person, yani, yasta'een, yani, isti'ana, seeks help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani, in what? In the achievement or the acquisition of the knowledge that has been inherited from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَهَذَا أَصْلٌ عَظِيمٌ يُؤَكِّدُ عَلَيْهِ رَحِيمُهُ اللَّهِ فِي كُلِّ مَقَامٍ يَغْرِسُهُ فِي كُلِّ مُنَاسِبَةٍ. And here, the Shaykh Abdul Razak is saying, this is a asl azim, a tremendous, magnificent, basic, fundamental principle that Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, in every situation and every opportunity, he's trying to plant this, and he's trying to affirm and reaffirm, yani, this principle in the minds of the people. What? the principle of seeking help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this has already passed by when Shaykh al-Islam was talking about the best means of earning a livelihood. The first thing that he began with is what? Tatawakkul ala Allah. Yani, put your trust in Allah. And likewise in seeking knowledge, the same thing. Put your trust in Allah. Seek help from Allah. Tasta'een billahi. Yani, seek al-aun, help or assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Shaykh swears by Allah, wallahi, it is not possible that a person can achieve fa'ida wahida, even one benefit, illa a'anaka Allah ala tahsiliha, except that Allah helps you to achieve it. Wallahi, it's not possible, except by the help of Allah. Yani, except that Allah yassaraha for you. Allah made it easy for you. And Allah taught you that which you didn't know. And the favor of Allah upon you is great, tremendous. And here he mentions the supplication that Allah ordered the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with, وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. The favor of Allah is azim. Ask Allah to give us an increase of knowledge, beneficial knowledge. فَلَا يُمْكِنْ. It's not possible for a person to achieve even one atom's weight, a dharra of knowledge, except that Allah, the Rabbul Alameen, helps that person to achieve it. And for this reason, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, the Shaykh of Shaykh Abdul Razak says, وَلِهَذَا مِنْ أَحَمُّ الْمُهَمَّاتِ, from the most important of the important things, and the أَكِدْ الْمُطَالِبِ فِي هَذَا الْبَابِ, and the most certain, definite of the requests that are things that are sought in this particular topic that we are talking about, yani seeking knowledge, from the most important of affairs, أَنْ يَعْتَنِيَ طَالِبُ الْعِلْمِ بِالْإِسْتِعَانَةِ, طالب العون من الله سبحانه وتعالى. يعني from the most important of important things is that a person يعتنية, يعني have inaya, care and concern. The student of knowledge has care and concern in the seeking of knowledge by what? بالاستعانة, by seeking help from Allah سبحانه وتعالى. قل ربي زدني علما. يعني this is a few words, four little words that a person can say. The Prophet ﷺ was ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ask for an increase of knowledge. Qul Rabbi, three words. Yani Allah is saying, He's ordering the Prophet, say. What to say? Rabbi zidni ilma. O my Lord, increase me in knowledge. And he seek help from Allah. Go after the knowledge, get up and read books and memorize and so on. Listen to the recordings, get on the line, whatever. Go to the masjid, classes, whatever. But ask Allah's help. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, every morning when he got up in the morning, every day in his dua, after he made taslim from Salatul Fajr, he used to say, as we mentioned last week, Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafiyan wa rizqan tayyiban wa amalan mutaqabbalan. Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafiyan. This is the most important thing. And the first thing he asked for what? Beneficial knowledge. And then he said, yani rizqan tayyiban, good, wholesome provisions. And then he said, these are accepted. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in authentic hadith, even said, yani muqabil hadha, rabbi zidni, allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafian, he said, allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ilmin la yanfa'u. And oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from knowledge that has no benefit. That has no benefit. To the end of that supplication, yani the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to ask for these three things every day in the morning. وَيَبْدَأُ بِالْعِلْمِ النَّافِيًا. He used to begin with what? Asking for beneficial knowledge, giving precedence to that over sustenance and even deeds. And this is because knowledge is the asas, the foundation, that there's no escape from it. It's a necessity, so that a person may distinguish, the one who has knowledge, may distinguish between the sustenance that's طيب and خبيث, the sustenance that's good, and that which is filthy sustenance. So that a person may distinguish between amal as-salih wa fasid, yani the deed that is righteous and the deed that is corrupt. So if a talib al-ilm or any Muslim doesn't have yani knowledge, إِذَا لَمْ يَكُنْ عِنْدَ طَالِبُ الْعِلْمِ al-Muslim or عِنْدَ Muslim ilm يُدِيُّ لَهُ طَرِيقًا. If a person, if a Muslim, forget about talib al-ilm, any Muslim doesn't have knowledge that shines light on his road, on his way, how will he distinguish between that which is filthy and that which is wholesome, that which is righteous and that which is evil? So the knowledge, it is the asas, the foundation, وَبِهِ يُبْدَأُ. And it is with knowledge that we begin. And for this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began with knowledge in the saying in Surah to Muhammad 47, Surah 47, Surah 19 ayat, فَعَلَمْ أنه لا إله إلا الله. يعني began with knowledge. Know that there is nothing which deserves worship except Allah. واستغفر لذنبك وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات. يعني and seek forgiveness for your sin and the sins of the believing men and the believing women. فبدأ بالعلم قبل القول والعمل. So he began, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began with knowledge before speech and action. And this is the statement of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari in the chapter heading, in one of the chapters in Sahih Bukhari, he said what? Al-ilm qabla al-qawli wal-amal. Yani knowledge precedes speech and action. Allah began with knowledge. And our Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, he also began with knowledge in these supplications that he used to say in the morning. Yani he began with knowledge before asking for wholesome provisions and acceptable actions. And this is because knowledge is the foundation that one cannot do without. And it is a necessity, لا بد من تقديمه, that you must give it precedence so that a Muslim will be able to distinguish in terms of their arzak, their provisions, between that which is good and that which is evil. And in terms of their actions, between that which is righteous and that which is unrighteous. So Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, Yani, what I'm offering to you is that which collects all khair is to seek assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in receiving the knowledge which is inherited from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani, that you ask and request from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to aid you in achieving the knowledge that has been inherited or left behind as inheritance from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَحَدَّدَ هُنَا الْعِلْمُ الْمَوْرُوثِ. Here the Shaykh says, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah limited, specified. What type of knowledge? Al-ilm al-mawruth. Al-mawruth from what? Al-warith is the one who leaves it behind, and the mawruth, the ism maf'ul, is what? The thing that is left behind. The knowledge that is left behind by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and it has been authentically narrated in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in which he said, وَالْأَنْبِيَا لَمْ يُوَرِّثُوا دِنَارًا وَلَا دِرْحَمًا إِنَّمَا وَرَّثُوا الْعِلْمُ. Yani that the prophets didn't leave behind as inheritance gold or silver coins. Rather, what they left behind as inheritance is knowledge. وَمَنْ أَخَذَهُ أَخَذَ بِحَذٍ وَافِرٍ. So whoever has taken that knowledge left behind by the prophets, then they have gotten an ample, great amount, yani, of that which is of benefit. Yani, the Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, the knowledge which is left behind is inheritance from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَإِنَّهُ هُوَ الَّذِي يَسْتَحِقُّ أَنْ يُسَمَّ عِلْمًا. Because this knowledge is the only knowledge that has the right to be called knowledge. And this is where we close with this point. Yani, the Shaykh Abdul Razak, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, he said, because it is knowledge which enlightens or which lights up. Yani, yudi'u, shines a light. For the worshipper, al-ghaya, allati khuliqa li-ajlihi. Yani, it shines a light on the ghaya, the hadaf, the, yani, the maqsood, what the human being has been created for. It is only knowledge that makes a person to be able to see what you have been created for. Yani, what you have been brought into existence to achieve, to realize. It's only by knowledge. وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَكُونُ بِهِ الْخُرُوجِ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. It is only by knowledge that a person can get out of darkness into light. وَيَكُونُ بِهِ إِبْصَارِ الطَّرِيقِ. And it is only by knowledge that a person will be able to see the road that they are traveling upon. And for this reason, it came in the Quran that al-wahi, the revelation, was called nur. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Ash-Shura, 42nd Surah, 52nd Ayah, وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ رُوحًا مِّنْ أَمْرِنَا. And in this way, we have أَوْحَيْنَا, we have revealed to you رُوحًا, yani a revelation from our command. مَا كُنْتَ تَدْرِي مَا الْكِتَابُ وَلَا الْإِيمَانِ. You didn't know what was the book, nor what was Iman, yani before the revelation came. وَلَكِنْ جَعَلْنَاهُ, yani but we have made it, the revelation that we have sent to you, that is the Quran, جَعَلْنَاهُ نُورًا نَهْدِ بِهِ مَنْ نَشَاءَ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. But we have made it, that is the Quran, a light. And we guide by it whoever we will from amongst our worshippers. And indeed you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do indeed guide to a straight path. Yani by knowledge, by the revelation, by knowledge which is light. So knowledge is a light for the one who possess it, that shines upon the road. The knowledge which is inherited from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a light for the one who possesses it. It shines a light on his road. and he walks by it in the darkness. And he knows, due to this knowledge, where to place his feet. And he knows, yani, where he is going as he is walking along. And he knows from this knowledge, ماذا يتقي, what he should protect himself from, observe taqwa in, by knowledge. ويعرف الحلال والحرام. And he knows that which is lawful and unlawful, والهدى والضلال, and that which is guidance and misguidance, والسنة والبدعة, and the sunnah from innovation, والحق والباطل, and that which is truth from that which is falsehood. كل ذلكم لا يعرف إلا بالعلم. All these things could not be known except by knowledge. ولا سبيل إلى معرفته إلا بالعلم. And there's no way for you to come to know these things except by knowledge. فهو الذي يستحق أن يسمى علما. So this knowledge inherited from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is the only one that has the right to be called knowledge. And it came in the ayat, for example, in Surah Az-Zumar 39th Surah 9th ayat, قل هل يستوي الذين يعلمون والذين لا يعلمون. يعني are they equal, those who know and those who do not know? إنما يتذكر أولو الألباب. Only those who remember or take heed are those who have understanding. And likewise, similarly, in Surah Ra'ad, 13th Surah, 19th Ayat, أَفَمَنْ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ الْحَقِّ كَمَنْ هُوَ أَعْمَى. يعني is the one who knows that what has been revealed to you, O Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, from your Rabb, that is the truth, is the one who knows that, like the one who is blind. إنما يتذكر أولو الألباب. The only people who can pay heed to this are the people of understanding. And the Shaykh, and we close with this last statement, he said, وَنَحْوَهَا مِنَ الْآيَاتِ. And there are other ayats just like this. المراد بها, what is intended by these ayats is this knowledge, الموروث, which has been inherited from النبي الكريم صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. نعم. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. And it is incumbent upon us to know the value of this knowledge. And it's not for every knowledge, it's the knowledge that's inherited from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Give care and concern, inaya, to seeking the knowledge from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, authentically related, conveyed to us from the Prophet of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, meaning the Quran and the authentic Sunnah and its explanations from the scholars of the people of Sunnah that have been conveyed to us accurately. It is incumbent upon us to give care to this matter and make it of utmost importance before everything else, because only by knowledge that any of yani these things can be achieved, and success is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask help from Allah. Any question about what we discussed tonight? Something that's not clear? That's not clear. Did we say something that wasn't clear?
No, I just wanted the ayah number.
Which ayah? Naam, 42nd surah, 52nd ayah, 42-52. Barakallahu feekum. Just by the way, brothers and sisters, let me just remind us, you know these people are going to change the time, right? When?
Saturday night, Sunday morning,
right? So pay attention to this, and they're going to change the hour from 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock, right? So pay attention to the time for salawat, especially the Fajr prayer. Don't get caught off guard and, you know, get messed up, right? And also, those who are in Arabic class with us on Sunday, our time for the class is still the same. Yani, even though Dhuhr is going to be yani 1:30, but class still going to start at 12 o'clock. Yani 12 o'clock to 2 o'clock, book 1, 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock, book 2, 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock, book 3. Okay? Jazakum Allah khair wa barakallahu feekum.